A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. In those days, a great number who believed turned to the Lord. The news about them reached the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to go to Antioch. When he arrived and saw the grace of God, he rejoiced and encouraged them all to remain faithful to the Lord in firmness of heart. For he was a good man, filled with the Holy Spirit and faith. And a large number of people was added to the Lord. Then he went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met with the church and taught a large number of people. And it was in Antioch that the disciples were first called Christians. Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Menean, who was a close friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then, completing their fasting and prayer, they laid hands on them and sent them off. The word of the Lord. The Lord has revealed to the nations his saving power.
The Lord has revealed to the nations his saving power.
Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done wondrous deeds. His right hand has won victory for him, his holy arm.
The Lord has revealed to the nations his saving power.
The Lord has made his salvation known. In the sight of the nations, he has revealed his justice. He has remembered his kindness and his faithfulness toward the house of Israel.
The Lord has revealed to the nations his saving power.
All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation by our God. Sing joyfully to the Lord, all you lands. Break into song, sing praise.
The Lord has revealed to the nations his saving power.
Sing praise to the Lord with the harp and melodious song, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Sing joyfully before the King, the Lord.
The Lord has revealed to the nations his saving
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundo Matteum.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
Jesus said to the 12, "As you go make this proclamation, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, drive out demons. Without cost you have received, without cost you are to give. Do not take gold or silver or copper for your belts, no sack for your journey, or a second tunic, or sandals, or walking stick. the laborer deserves his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, look for a worthy person in it and stay there until you leave. As you enter a house, wish it peace. If the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. If not, let your peace return to you.
Verbum Domini.
You can learn a lot about a person by walking through a graveyard, by looking at their epitaph in a graveyard on the many gravestones. Walking through a graveyard is not just a lesson in history, but it's also a lesson in virtue, how virtuous a man, woman, or child is, just by seeing that little phrase emblazed in a gravestone until the second coming. St. Luke's words from the Acts of the Apostles could serve as the epithet of one of the chosen apostles to the Gentiles, St. Barnabas, along with the esteemed apostle St. Paul. I have today one of my prized relic, all the apostles, including St. Paul and St. Barnabas. So we have a powerhouse today to help us to pray and to celebrate the Eucharist. These would have been the first to celebrate the Eucharist, the apostles. They would have been the ones who knew Jesus the best, and actually the ones who actually saw him drive out demons, cure the sick, raise the dead. And Jesus gave the apostles that same authority and power that he had. He conferred that upon them. St. Luke's tribute to St. Barnabas, very simple. He was a good man, filled with the Holy Spirit and faith. That's his epithet. A good man, filled with the Holy Spirit and faith. What a way to be known. A good man, filled with the Holy Spirit and faith. Barnabas is singled out as a man who sold a piece of property that he owned and brought the money and put it at the feet of the apostles. Where there are people in need, the Holy Spirit tends to rush to their aid and inspire chosen souls to be generous to those who are in need. The fourth chapter of the Acts of the Apostles seems to indicate that the apostles themselves named Joseph, a Levite, a Cypriot by birth, Barnabas, meaning son of encouragement, son of consolation. This too is an epithet for the apostle St. Barnabas. Son of consolation, the encourager. The Holy Spirit is the consoler. The Holy Spirit is the advocate and gives particular sensitivity to those chosen souls to have promptings, openness to the Holy Spirit and his teachings. You can see this all throughout St. Barnabas's life in the Acts of the Apostles, an openness to the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit is leading, is prompting. Within the context of introducing St. Barnabas, a concise practice of the early Christian community is witness to the Acts of the Apostles, beginning on chapter 4, verse 32. It says the community of believers was of one heart and mind, and no one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they had everything in common. With great power, the apostles bore witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great favor was accorded them all. There was no needy person among them, for they owned property or houses, would sell them, bring the proceeds of the sale, and bring them to the feet of the apostles, and they were distributed to each according to need. Christianity is much more than humanitarian giving, much more than just giving to people in need, although that's very important. There's much humanitarian giving even without the name of Christ, and that's a good thing. But in Christianity, a giving, a surrendering of one's goods and property and charity is done out of love of God and really a desire for transformation, conversion. It was St. Barnabas who witnessed to the apostles about the sincerity of the faith of Paul after his conversion. A man who was known for murdering Christians, St. Barnabas was Paul's advocate in saying to the apostles of the sincerity of Paul's faith. You might say that behind the fruitfulness and efficacy of the ministry of St. Paul was St. Barnabas. He directed St. Paul with the guidance of the Holy Spirit. The Acts of the Apostles witnessing to the handing on of the apostolic ministry through the laying on of hands. Today's reading from the Acts of the Apostles is an earliest representation of this teaching, that through the laying on of hands, the apostolic ministry is conferred. And this gesture goes back to the apostolic age. The laying on of hands signifies the conferral of the grace of the Holy Spirit. Since the early church, the laying on of hands was associated with the conferral of the grace of the church, the grace of the Holy Spirit to teach, sanctify, and govern the church in holy orders. The Catechism of the Catholic Church says in paragraph 699, the letter to the Hebrews lists the imposition of hands among the fundamental elements of its teaching. The church has kept this sign of the all-powerful outpouring of the Holy Spirit in its sacramental epiclesis, the calling upon the Holy Spirit. The Catechism, paragraph 1577, states, only a baptized man validly receives sacred ordination. The Lord Jesus chose men to form the College of the 12 Apostles, and the apostles did the same when they chose collaborators to succeed them in their ministry. The College of Bishops, with whom the priests are united in the priesthood, makes the College of the 12 an ever-present and ever-active reality until Christ's return. The church recognizes herself to be bound by this choice made by the Lord himself. For this reason, the ordination of women is not possible. And then it further states in 1578, no one has a right to receive the sacrament of holy orders. Indeed, no one claims this office for himself. He is called to it by God. Anyone who thinks he recognizes the signs of God's call to the ordained ministry must humbly submit his desire to the authority of the church, who has the responsibility and right to call someone to receive orders. Like every grace, this sacrament can be received only as an unmerited gift. Oftentimes people ask, when was the moment that you knew that you were called to be a priest? And even some people ask bishops that. I suppose they would say, when the nuncio called me and it said that the Holy Father has called you. But for a priest, there may be stirrings of this from youth. There may be stirrings of the Holy Spirit and an openness to what the Holy Spirit is doing and calling. But really, the moment that you know is not while you're in seminary. It's at the ordination ceremony when the bishop calls you. That's when you know that definitively and forever that your vocation is to be a priest. Not before, but it's before. It's the discernment process. You have people who are helping you to discern along with you and guiding you and teaching you and instructing you and really helping you to make that decision. But really, in that process of the ordination ceremony, when the bishop calls right before the homily, there is a going back and forth between the bishop and the director of vocations. And the bishop says, do you know this man to be called to be worthy? And the bishop calls, and that's the calling itself, sacramentalized, if you will, within the context of the ordination ceremony. And it's a gift. I think this is very important, that no one has the right to receive ordination. And just even in approaching ordination and even discerning to be a priest, it's not proper for someone to say, I have to be a priest. Or, God is definitively calling me to be a priest. And that's the church's judgment. That's the church's judgment and charism to discern that. And there is an initiative started by the National Shrine of Our Lady of Champion in the Diocese of Green Bay, Wisconsin, that's worth mentioning. Praying for the bishops of the church from May until October. And it's worth signing up for through the website. And I signed up recently a couple weeks ago, and they send you the name of a bishop every single day in the morning. So every single day you pray by name, and they send you a picture of the bishop too in the United States to pray for our bishops, the successors of the apostles. And the website is www.championshrine.org. Championshrine.org. I encourage all of you to sign up. On this memorial of St. Barnabas, it's a good way to practice charity, to pray for our bishops, to pray for the successors of the apostles, that they teach, govern, and sanctify the church with the grace given to them by God and through the laying on of hands. And this is the daily prayer that is on the website for each bishop. And I pray this today for the particular bishop today in Kansas, the Diocese of St. Joseph. Jesus, Good Shepherd, you sent us the Holy Spirit to guide your church, to lead her faithful to you through the ministry of the successors of your apostles, the bishops. through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, grant to your bishops wisdom in leading, faithfulness in teaching, and holiness in guarding your sacred mysteries. As they cry out with all the faithful, Our Father, may your bishops be ever more closely identified with you and your divine sonship. And may they offer their own lives with you, the one saving victim. Renew in your bishops deeper faith, trust in you, childlike reliance on Mary, our mother, and unwavering fidelity to the Holy Catholic Church. Our Lady of Champion, pray for your bishops. And it goes through the litany of saints to pray for them, along with the apostles. Saints Peter and Saints Paul, pray for them. Saint Andrew, pray for them. Saint James, pray for them. Saint John, pray for them. Saint Thomas, pray for them. Saint James, pray for them. Saint Philip, pray for them. Saint Bartholomew, pray for them. Saint Matthew, pray for them. Saint Simon and Jude, pray for them. Saint Matthias, pray for them. And today we pray for Saint Barnabas' intercession, pray for them. Saint John Vianney, pray for them. Saint Methodius, pray for them. Saint Joseph, protect them. Saint Michael, defend them. All you saints in heaven, pray for them. Amen. I ask through the intercession of the holy apostles, the grace of the Holy Spirit to be poured out upon all those who believe, and even all those who do not believe, all those who struggle in belief. Through the intercession of the holy apostles, may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.